man. Well, I turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. We're going to read this to get a starting place. You pay attention as we'll read God's word here in Jeremiah chapter 12. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me, and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thine father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul unto the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour her. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come up, have come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Then saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not, if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Brother Wesley, lead us in prayer again, would you? Amen. Now you pray for me. My throat's been bothering me some this week. But I want to read this chapter to get a starting place. And if you'll notice, we're not going to cover much of this chapter. We're going to mainly talk about something else. But he's dealing here with a nation. And the nation is in bad shape. And we're going to look at this as a nation, as a church, as a family, and as an individual, all take the whole thing down. What he's dealing with here, he starts out that they see that the evil is prospering. They see the evil is raised up and they're doing fine. But God's people is not. And on down through, and you get especially down to about verse 5, you see here where it's dealing with, if God's people cannot stand for him when things is going good, how are you going to do when it gets worse? Amen. That's what he's dealing with there. Finally, he gets on over towards the end of this chapter, and he's saying if they'll shape up and do right and teach the right thing, then God will bless. But if they don't, he's going to destroy them. That's what he's dealing with, in other words. In other words, have they gone past the point of returning to where things is right? I'm going to try to bring you a message on beyond the point. In other words, have we gone beyond the point? I got about 7 points here that I'm going to bring, Lord willing, if I last that long. And the first one, are we beyond the point of preaching? In other words, has the people today gone beyond the point of preaching? Well, the old world was. Noah preached for 120 years and didn't do him a bit of good. Didn't do him no good at all. If people could hear the preaching of the Lord for that long time, and none of them except, I mean, there wasn't a one of them that did, just his family. They was beyond the point of preaching. Amen. Preaching didn't do them a bit of good. Now, in Sodom and Gomorrah, they may not have heard a lot of preaching, but they had some witness. There's beyond that. There's beyond that point. Didn't do them a bit of good. There's folks today that's that way. You look at that bus today, and that's what it says over there when God destroyed them, there in Romans chapter 1. He says that it'll be a sign and a witness to them that shall come afterwards. That's talking about a bunch of queers today. Amen. The ones that's going to come out, they ought to learn something. They ought to learn that God destroyed that other bunch. You think he's going to look over the bus today? No, he ain't going to look over them. He's going to destroy them too. They better get right with God. Amen. They're beyond preaching. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Are we beyond preaching today? You take a church that preaches the Bible, and this church preaches the Bible. You get up here and you preach the Bible, you preach what the Bible says, and are you beyond that? Are you the place that you don't listen anymore? Don't pay attention to what thus saith the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about not just a nation. I'm talking about a church, talking about a family, talking about an individual. Are you beyond that point? Beyond the point of preaching? I dare say so many folks are. I mean, they hear it, but they don't hear it. Amen. Lots of folks just don't hear it. There's good preaching around here. A good preaching like Brother Jay is talking about a while ago on the radio. There's some on there that's not any good, but there's some on there it is. And they preach the gospel. And the gospel goes out. And people around here hears the gospel. They hear the word of the Lord. They hear good preaching. And are they beyond that? A lot of them are. They got to be because they don't pay any attention to it. It don't do them no good. What about you? When you hear something, what do? You say, that old preacher, he's just an old fogey. He don't know what's going on. Or do you listen a while? You pay attention to what God says. I'm just a man. I'm not no better than you are. But I'm giving you the word of God. And that's what's right. Amen. And show you illustrations in the Bible. Just talking about the old world there. They was beyond preaching. The preaching didn't do them no good. They didn't pay no attention to the preaching. You see. So we're talking about beyond the point. Amen. And then are we beyond the point of intercession? Amen. Beyond the point of intercession. Over in give you 2 Peter 2. Beyond the point of intercession. 2 Peter 2, notice what it says. Here it's talking about what God did not spare. 2 Peter 2. Get down here about verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodliness, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, condemning them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Amen. That's what it said. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the fields of conversation of the wicked. Are we beyond intercession? Well, God didn't save the old world because they didn't listen. The intercession of Noah there didn't do any good. Intercession today, I wonder if it does any good. We're to intercede. We're to try to reach folks. Try to tell them about what's going on. Abraham, when Lot got captured and took off, Abraham took the servants that was raised in his house and went out and got him. Whooped up on him, you know, and got him and delivered him. You know what he done? He went right back in that same mess. He didn't leave. He had a chance then to straighten up and go on and do right. But what did he do? Went right back in that same mess. How about you? God gives you a chance and gives you a second chance and a third and a fourth. And on like that, what you do? Do you change and do right? Or you just go on and do the same old thing? Amen? Are we beyond the point of intercession? Beyond the point of help? Where God really wants to help? God has really been good to this country. And this country kicks him out of everything. And we don't need you, God. We learned how to do it without you. Many churches today has learned how to do it without him. They don't need the Lord. Just kick him out. We got this thing down now. We can go right on. Many families and individuals has learned how to do it without God. Say, hey, I know how this thing's done now. I don't need you, God. You run on and do something else, somewhere else. Are we beyond the point of intercession? And then next, are we beyond the point of repentance? Well, Judas was. He's beyond the point of repentance. Pharaoh was beyond the point of repentance. Amen. What about Esau over here? It says in Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen. He's beyond the point of repentance. That's a sad place to be. Amen. Beyond the point of repentance. And then let's look at another one over in Revelations. Revelations chapter 2. Jesus talking to this church here. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 21. He's talking about Jezebel there and all fornication and stuff is going on. Verse 21, and he says, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." Amen? People beyond the point of repentance. It wasn't that God wouldn't have listened to her. He said, "I gave her space to repent, but she repented not." What about over in Revelation chapter 9? Revelation 9, verse number 20. Talking about all the problems and things that was going on. Finally down here about verse 20 says, "And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver and brass and stone, and of wood which neither can see nor hear nor walk." They repented not. Now I realize that's over in tribulation time. But still, it's talking about the change to repent. And they wouldn't even repent, no matter what happened to them. Folks today can get in all kinds of problems, and they won't repent. Won't try to get right with God. Are they beyond the point of repentance? Amen? It's a sad case today talking to some people. Amen? I've talked to them, you know, and I've had them tell me, "I don't want none of that junk. Take it and go peddle it somewhere else. I don't want none of that stuff." Some of them's probably in hell today. I bet they'd like to have that change again. Amen? Beyond the point. And then are we beyond the point of revival? Beyond the point of revival. Now, I dare say that, let me turn over to Ezra, if you want to turn there. Beyond the point of revival. In Ezra 9 and verse number 8 it says, "And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." That's in Ezra 9 and verse 8. Give us a little reviving in our bondage. It's nice to have a little bit of reviving. Amen. Amen. We need some reviving. We need it bad. In Psalms 85 and verse 6, it says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Over in Psalms 85, 6, "Will thou not revive us again?" Brother, we need it. We need it bad. We need some reviving. We need some reviving among our churches. We need some reviving just among ourselves. We need revived. We need it bad, folks. But are we beyond that? Well, I don't believe the local church that wants to be revived is beyond it. I believe somebody that wants to be revived and wants to live for God and wants to do right, that God will help them and revive them. But the thing about it is so many people don't want to. They're at ease in Zion. They've done hung their harps on the weeping willow. Amen. and they're settled down, and they're not wanting to change. And there you get into the Christian folks, not really wanting to be revived, not wanting to change, wanting to do their own thing. Put everything before God and His work. Brother and sister, you can't get revived that way. You got to be willing to go God's way, to do things His way. Allow Him to revive you. He's the only one that can. Amen. But are we beyond that? I hope not. But a lot of people are. Amen. Beyond reviving. That's sad. But it's that way. We have revivals here. We call them revivals. We have at least one a year, sometimes two, and have had three. You know, and we enjoy it. And I think the majority of us get some help out of it. And we get some reviving. Amen. But I wonder overall if the majority of God's people that's saved really wants revived. Amen. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. Are we beyond reviving? And are we beyond the point of deliverance? The point of deliverance. God wants to deliver. Now here we'd have to deal with our homes and our schools and our government and our churches and our sons and our daughters and everybody there. But are we beyond the point of reviving? I mean of deliverance. Back over now let's go to Ezekiel this time. Ezekiel 14. Deliverance. Ezekiel 14 and verse number 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Now you see the three men that he used here in Ezekiel 14, verse number 20. He used Noah, which overcome the world. He used Daniel, which overcome the flesh. And he used Job, which overcome the devil. Amen? But even though them three overcome the world, flesh, and the devil, they still couldn't deliver nobody except themselves. Amen? Your mama and your daddy can't deliver you. You have to be delivered by God, by your Savior. You have to get it there. That's the only place that it'll come from, is getting it there. Now, here in Jeremiah, where we're dealing, now we'll get that later. Let's just think about another one. Think about over in Daniel 5. You remember Belshazzar? Daniel 5, see there in Belshazzar. What he did is he started having a big party with God's instruments and using them the wrong way. In other words, he's drinking out of these things, and all of his people in there in his parties are drinking out of them. He's misusing God's instruments. And, of course, you know that his finger comes in there in a hand and writes on the wall. None of his men can tell him what that thing says. And that represents all the new Bibles. Amen. Because none of them can tell you what God's Word says anyway. And so he sent for Daniel. Called him in there. Said, can you read that, Daniel? Daniel said, yeah. I said, I recognize my father's handwriting anywhere. And so he told him what it said. And when he told him what it said, though, He said, you're going to be weighed in the balance, and you're going to be found wanting. In other words, you're not going to come up to par like you think you would. Like all these folks today that's figures, well, when God weighs out my good deeds and my bad deeds, I'm going to come out okay. No, you're going to come out just like Belshazzar did. He was found wanting. And he said, tell you what, Belshazzar said, tonight you're going to die. And you know what happened? He died. Amen. Amen. He died. He wasn't delivered. When you start using God's methods and God's instruments and God's talent and everything that he's given you to use for him, you're not going to get delivered, brother, unless you repent and get right. And there's all kind of folks. Most of them country and western singers started singing in church. You realize that? You know why so many of them dies young now? Amen. They're changing what God gave them, giving it to the world and the devil. You know why many churches today is getting in the contemporary music and all that other stuff? They're changing what God wants done to something worldly. Amen. That's not going to happen here. Amen. We don't want that garbage in here. We don't want the rock music, rock gospel. Them two words don't even go together. In the same sentence, they don't even fit. Amen. There's no such thing. And just like brothers talking about a while ago, talking about entertainment. That's what they want. When I was in Indiana, I got all kind of calls, you know, about people looking for churches and stuff, you know. And they'd call, and you know what? One of the first two questions that they asked was, what do you got for the children? That's what they want to know. What do you got for the children? Well, I told them what we had. That's why most of them didn't ever come. I said, we got the same thing we got for the adults. We got Bible preaching and teaching. Just what they need. That's what church is for. To preach and teach the Word of God. I said, we got the same thing for your kids as we got for you. Come on over and try it out. And most of them wouldn't come. Amen. And then, of course, the main two questions that they always asked was that, and you have a nursery to take care of the kids so I don't have to fool with them. I mean, they didn't put it that way, but that's basically what they were saying. Now, ain't nothing wrong with a nursery if it's run right. I ain't saying nothing against that. But that's what they're concerned about. Hardly ever was I asked, what kind of Bible do you use? Amen. Hardly ever was I asked, what do you really believe in there? What do you teach? What do you preach? Them's the questions I'd like to get. Amen. I'd be glad to tell them. Amen. But you see, we're dealing here with beyond the point of deliverance. These churches that's got turned into saloons. Amen. What are they going to be selling out of this church one of these days? Amen. Hey, things is going bad. I seen several churches close up while I was in Indiana, just right around us. They just closed the doors and sold the buildings. Amen. That's sad. Now, some churches need to close up. Some so-called churches. Amen. But a Bible church don't need to close up. It needs to keep going. Need to be delivered, and only God can deliver. Amen. And are we beyond the point of forgiveness? Beyond the point of forgiveness. I'd like you to look at an interesting statement over here in Isaiah chapter 22. Now, I realize this is talking about a nation. of forgiveness over here in Isaiah 22. But down here in verse number 14, you'd have to read a whole lot of this back to get the gist of what he's talking about. But in Isaiah 22 and verse 14, he says, "And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord God of hosts." They wasn't going to be forgiven until that day, till they're dead. In other words, they weren't going to be forgiven as individuals. And back over here in Jeremiah where we're looking, in Jeremiah chapter 11, you look down here at verse 14, "Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." God says, "I won't hear them." You go to Proverbs chapter 1 over there where he's talking about the people going to cry unto him. And he says, "I'll laugh at their calamity." Yeah. "I'll laugh at their calamity." So are you beyond the point of forgiveness? Now, I don't know where a lot of them points is at in this. But there's points out there. And you need to think about it. These people that he talks about over in the little epistle of John, certain ones, he says, don't even pray for them. Committed certain sin, he says, don't pray for them. Ain't need praying for them. Not going to do any good. They're beyond the point of forgiveness. Lord, I hope none of us ever gets beyond that point. Because if you do, well, you're fixing to graduate and be gone. Amen. You're leaving out. And then we'll hit one more here before we close. And are we beyond the point of judgment? Judgment. Now think about that a minute. There's past judgments. Amen. Past judgments are very important. And John chapter 5 and verse 24 kind of covers it. Says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So this is talking about our past judgment. Your past judgment is at the cross. That's where my judgment was at. Was at the cross, you see. I hope yours was there. Your past judgment. At the cross. But then there's a present judgment. The present judgment is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 31, and it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Our present judgment is we are to judge ourselves. You're supposed to look at yourself and see what kind of mess you're in and take it to the Lord and judge it and straighten it out. Amen. That is our present judgment. And then, of course, there's a future judgment for us. And the future judgment for us that's saved is, of course, at the judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand, we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 covers that. Judgment seat of Christ will be our future judgment. Of course, for the lost, the future judgment is Revelation 20. You know, the great white throne judgment. But are we beyond the point? I'm afraid some folks is beyond the point. and all these points that I was talking about. I'm going to try to sing this song. I may not can get through it. There's a line by man unseen that crosses every path. It marks the boundaries between God's mercy and His wrath. Lost soul, reject the Savior, and then too late you may learn. You crossed on sin's dark highway to the point of no return. The point of no return. No return to God. Lost alone, road of sin. So don't turn away from the Savior. Are then too late, you may learn. You've crossed on sin's dark highway to the point of no return. Would you bow your heads if somebody needs to come and pray for any reason? I pray that you will. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for being with us today and helping us through this message. Pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has free course and can deal with each one as is needed. You know every heart, Lord. I pray that everyone here has trusted you as their Savior. If not, Lord, I pray that we'll. Dear Heavenly Father, if there's others that needs to pray and get some things straightened out, I pray, Lord, that they'll do that. Pray, Lord, you'll touch the hearts as is needed here today. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.